Well, I'm going to call this God through Donald Trump one around one. And I want to tell you that there was a hidden landslide for Donald Trump, but fractionalization fraud was in play in the voting machine computers, and this is why the race seemed as close as it was. Because there really was a landslide. But you know, enough fractions make a whole, don't they? And that, I don't think they counted on that. You know, the Lord tricked them. He deceived them. And you know, the election fraud that was discovered by investigators concerning fractionalization of an individual, making him a fraction instead of a whole, and the key that they discovered that they can, from computer, alter the elections in about 4 seconds, I think that that's been in play since 2001, and I don't believe we've had a presidential election since 2001. Because of this, and because of the organized crime by the powers that be. Anyway, at one point there was a comparison of Hillary's rallies across the nation being 30,000 in attendance, but Trump's rallies were 300,000 in attendance, and this just lets us know that it wasn't this close at all. And a lot of other things, too. A lot of other clear indicators pointed to a landslide. Okay? And, of course, after this 30,000 and 300,000 comparison, it got a lot worse as Hillary fell like a rock through the WikiLeaks and Weiner episodes. So how does this equate to as close a vote as it appeared? The only reason they lied on all the estimates was because they wanted to cheat and make it appear legal. So fractionalization, fraud, and cheating in every form with faction and slander has brought us to this point. But now, I believe we're probably going to hear something like the Russians hacked the vote with no proof, obviously, or made up proof, one. And we've heard that several people were shot by Al-Qaeda troops at one polling place when things went the wrong way for them. Wanted to discourage people from exit polling, maybe. I don't know. And I do believe that this could be a sign of things to come unless it's prayed down. I think we've got to think this way, that they may pull these things and get out in front of them just exactly like we did with this vote. I'm under no illusions that the church's prayers aren't being heard, but I do believe the Lord is listening to the bride, like in the book of Esther. It was the bride that had the ear of the King of Kings, and he listened. And that's what's happened. The church, by the way, was under the gun. It was under the threat of Haman. Okay? So, anyway, long before the Lord showed us that our prayers would be answered with a Trump, we were shown that President Obama had been chosen, like Pharaoh, like Haman, like Sennacherib, to bring a crucifixion to apostate Christianity. And that was confirmed to us by many dreams and visions and prophecies and Bible codes and scriptural types and shadows. But there was a condition, and that was that the worldwide bride would be purified, as Esther was, to go before the King of Kings. And that, of course, was typified by Ahasuerus in the book of Esther. And, of course, there they would intercede for the church in apostasy who was threatened with death by Haman and his administration. We've been fasting and praying until I'm embarrassed to ask people. But during this time, a faction has been taken out of our midst because of their hidden sin, in effect sanctifying us as He is also doing for His bride around the world. God showed us this plan years before it started, and because of this, Haman is being defeated, and Mordecai, as a type of the man-child reformers, are on the way. So I'm very, very glad about what we're seeing. I'm just still careful because I'm calling this the end of round one. And anyway, now that Trump is the president-elect, what next? Well, I believe what we have been teaching for a long time is next. History always repeats because God's on the throne. Ecclesiastes 1 and 9, that which has been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. And it's over 2 months now to the inauguration, when Trump will be 70 years, 7 months, and 7 days old. God's perfect number, 777. But it's really opposed to what could have happened with a 666. Pharaoh's army of ISIS and Al-Qaeda, Black Lives Matter, the communists, the leftists, all with the elite's money, know they have a lot to lose in a little over 2 months. And they're ruled covertly through this Islamo-fascist anarchist government. I expect anarchy across the United States from these troops, which will be blamed on Trump's win, of course. But I believe it may be the thing that God uses to restore some of the fear of God to His apostate people. Something greatly needed. Watch out for a controlled economic collapse, too, if they can do it. And this would also be blamed on the Trump win. Why would they do all this and more? Because they need an excuse to bring martial law and keep the reins of the government. So, what can we do about it? We can pray against these things. You say, well, if God's going to do it, God's going to do it. But God uses our prayers. He said, you have not because you ask not. Right? So pray. Cover everything in prayer. We're going to win this thing. I'm just telling you the method that God's going to use, right? Well, anyway, after this Passover for God's people, because of the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, this army will then be chasing the people to the Red Sea, just according to type. What's that going to look like? Well, maybe all of the above. In a spiritual way, we just saw the Red Sea of voters taking down the blue. But I expect something more physical. At the Red Sea, Moses is anointed as man-child to stand on the rock and part the sea as a trap for Pharaoh. And Trump takes office because Pharaoh, who has covertly resisted to the end, is no more, because God hardened his heart. Even to follow into the Red Sea, what a miracle. All the nations around was paying attention. Rahab pointed that out. They were all paying attention, and they feared the God of Israel. Is God going to do it again? Well, he says, he repeats it. It may be not always in a physical way, but he repeats it spiritually. And, of course, on the other side of the Red Sea, the real celebration starts. And also the beginning of the wilderness tribulation. I do believe the destroyer coming at the time of the Passover is what begins the tribulation. And this northern army type in Joel 2 meets the same fate, being driven into the eastern and western sea, as Trump has threatened to do with them on the way out of the country, right? And of course, in Joel 2, the revival starts. Oh, praise God. And Sennacherib and his troops meet the same fate, and the revival starts with the man-child ministry, now having a government that respects them like it was with Joseph and Daniel. And I've wondered for years, you know, what would cause a Joseph, second to Pharaoh, and Daniel, second to Babylon, the beast government in Babylon, what would cause that kind of a relationship, you know? But we now have a government that is respectful of Christians. That could have never happened with Hillary. It could have never happened with Obama. Haman's plot to kill the Christians is foiled by Esther, the bride. Her intercession to the King of Kings brought about this turnaround. And Haman is hung on his own gallows with his sons, and his administration dies as Mordecai the man-child is anointed under the king, as it was with Joseph and Daniel, who gave their wisdom from God to the new government. Do you realize that we haven't had a government like this one? This is favorable to these man-child reformer types, according to the scriptures. Now we have a Republican president with a Republican House and Senate, and the Republicrats have lost favor, all in one fell swoop. I believe that Trump will be able to clean house, and the man-child reformers will have his ear according to Scripture. So I'm just seeing pieces fall together here, you know, into place that I wondered how was going to happen. Lots of times God gives you a structure, you know, but he doesn't fill it all in, you know. And, of course, I think he's starting to fill it in here for us, you know. As it was in Egypt with the Exodus, the destroyer, I believe, will be seen in the sky as a repeat of history. And, of course, we've already studied the revelations we have of the big rocks coming in with earthquakes and tsunami to drown Pharaoh or Sennacherib or Haman, whichever type you want to look at there. And at that time, of course, the man-child ministry begins. The first earthquake on the East Coast seems to be speaking about the death of the man-child because Jesus had that earthquake when he died. And 3 days later, when he resurrected, a great earthquake, and I believe that is the New Madrid. But anyway, we'll see. I heard a sign early this morning when I checked in at Alex Jones, and he said it was 144, which is the man-child number. And he said Trump was approaching the stage to give his victory speech. 144. Ain't God good? Something probably a lot of people don't know is the Electoral College actually votes in December. We have their opinions now, but I believe that they vote in December, which is the real deciding vote. And Congress counts these votes in January, historically. And this Babylonish administration has threatened, bribed, and killed their way to the top. And I believe they're plotting now. Still, lots of praying to do, right? By faith and repentance, God will answer. He hears those who hear him. Why didn't the King of Kings have the... Why wasn't he listening to the people who Haman was going to kill? He really didn't seem to have a really good relationship with them. But he did with Esther, because she had been sanctified, and he heard her. He loved her, and he heard her. And she interceded for her people. And that's what's going to happen. It's not the people's prayers that are being heard so much as it is Esther's prayer that's being heard. If you're looking for a repentance across the country of apostate Christianity, it hasn't happened. But because of this, it will happen. When Haman gave out his edict, those people were crying out to God, confessing their sins. There was a revival of the fear of the Lord. It could be representative of the John the Baptist revival before the man-child revival, right? The Lord hears those who hear him. Trump, as a type of Cyrus, takes the throne on Inauguration Day, January the 20th, normally speaking, in agreement with our Pharaoh and Sennacherib types. The day Cyrus took over Babylon, their king, Belshazzar, who had done his best to bring in an unpopular foreign god, sound familiar, was killed. Cyrus came in, as God said he would, under the wall and through the gates, without a battle. Cyrus was very popular with the people of Babylon. He deposed the false god. Sound familiar? He was careful not to hurt the people of Babylon, but to show kindness to them and to help them. Strange, but very reflective of what I believe our Cyrus is going to do, Trump, right? And as Scripture shows, he freed the slaves of Babylon, God's people, to go and rebuild their kingdom temple and city, which is a type for the church. And on the way to the Red Sea, the pillar of God's fire protected the people from Pharaoh's army until it was time to cross the sea. And you know what happened there. So pray for protection of the elect people. I believe dirty tricks are planned. Pray them down to the very best of your extent, of your ability, right? Well, in this context I want to read to you, there are two types of the fall of the king of Babylon, which is the U.S., the great eagle. Babylon was the great eagle, and the U.S. is the great eagle. And this, the second type that I'm going to mention here is the one that he is taken out by Cyrus. Okay, Daniel 5:17, and I'm going to read on down. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Nevertheless, I will read the writing unto the king, and make known unto him the interpretation. O thou king," this is Belshazzar, right? "The Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father the kingdom, and greatness, and glory, and majesty. And because of the greatness that he gave him, all the peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive." That's been pretty much true, isn't it? "And whom he would he raised up, and whom he would he put down." That's been pretty much true too. "But when his heart was lifted up," and that's pretty true too, "and his spirit was hardened so that he dealt proudly, he was deposed from his kingly throne. And they took his glory from him. He was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts." And that's true too. "And his dwelling was with the wild asses." Who did the Bible say was a wild ass? Ishmael. He was fed with grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven until he knew that the Most High God ruleth in the kingdom of men, and that he setteth up over it whomsoever he will. And I do believe he did ordain President Obama to bring a crucifixion to God's people and to put the fear of God in them. And he did a good job, too. And he's not through yet. Anyway, 22 goes on. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thy heart, though thou knewest all this. So again, now we're looking at another king of Babylon, and the type and the shadow fits pretty good too. Except this is the one that Cyrus deposed and lost his life, just like Pharaoh at the Red Sea. But hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. I believe the vessels of God's house represent his people. And thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine, which represents blood according to the New Testament, right? The wine of the Lord's Supper represents the blood of the Lord, right? And this, now we're talking about the blood of the saints that this king of Babylon is guilty of. He's killed a lot of Christians. But, of course, you don't hear about that in the news at all, do you? And drunk wine or blood from them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and brass and iron and wood and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. True. Then was the part of the hand sent from before him, and this writing was inscribed. And this is the writing that was inscribed. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, ye God hath numbered thy kingdom and brought it to an end. And the end could be 777. Trump's number on the day of inauguration. I'll talk about that later. And brought it to an end. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes. Darius was the Mede, and the Persians, and Cyrus was a Persian. And they, of course, the kingdom of Babylon was divided to them, the Medes and the Persians. 29. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with purple, and put a chain of gold about his neck, and made proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Well, there you go. There's the connection of the man-child to the government, right? In that night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was slain. And Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Of course, these people were part of one empire. You know, there's a lot of confusion here, but we see in Daniel 6 and 28, it says, so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. In the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. And these were rulers of the same Achaemenid Persian empire. So Babylon became part of the larger empire of the Medes and Persians. It was a monstrous empire, very big. Cyrus's army was the one who conquered and subjected Babylon and set the Jews free to return and rebuild God's kingdom. Why does God's kingdom need to be rebuilt? Because for everybody that's not blind, you can look out there and see it's a total wreck. It's a mess. It doesn't respect the scriptures and doesn't resemble the scriptures. So it's got to be rebuilt. And that's why Cyrus is here. He's a part of the government that's going to cooperate with the new reformers, the man-child. Amen? And the story of God strengthening Cyrus, Trump, to conquer Babylon, the great eagle, as a type of the U.S., and to set his people free to renew the kingdom is here. Isaiah 44, I'm going to read from 23 on down with a few comments. It's something to sing about. Everybody ought to be singing and praising and thanking the Lord for what he just did, because the alternative was real bad. Isaiah 44:23, sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Yeah, you too. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and will glorify himself in Israel, which is, of course, all through the Old Testament, a type of the church. What they were in the letter, the church is in the spirit, in the new covenant. So the parables point to their spiritual fulfillment in the New Testament. And this is the parable. And thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth. Who is with me? So who is it that we really have to fear? It is the Lord. It isn't Babylon or its king. It is the Lord. We have to fear him. He said all nations are to him as a drop in a bucket. That doesn't seem like they're really going to give him any trouble. They're actually going to do just what he ordains. He works all things at the counsel of his own will. Verse 25. That frustrateth the signs of the liars. Yeah. Boy, we got a bunch of them in there, don't we? And maketh diviners mad, that turneth wise men backward. And there's a lot of proclaimed wise men out there that are really confused about what's going on here. And maketh their knowledge foolish. Amen. Boy, the prophecy teachers, they're just being turned on their head. That confirmeth the word of his servant, and performeth the counsel of his messengers. Yeah, he's not going to send people to lie, is he? That saith of Jerusalem, she shall be inhabited. Well, old Jerusalem over there, that's in bondage with her people, according to Paul, they're inhabited, but that's not what he's talking about here. She shall be inhabited, and of the cities of Judah they shall be built. And I will raise up the waste places. In other words, the waste places represent those parts of the kingdom of God that have been wasted by the beast kingdom, Babylon. Hey, we used to have some authority in this country, and with the government, got none now, period. Yeah. That saith to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers. That was a good point, because this is how Cyrus took Babylon. That saith of Cyrus, that's Mr. Trump right there, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying of Jerusalem, she shall be built, and of the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Which Jerusalem does he speak of here? The heavenly Jerusalem, ruled by our King David, Jesus Christ, who Scripture says ascended to the throne of David. The original apostles were building that kingdom in the spirit realm, not in the physical. And this is the kingdom being reborn out of apostasy. Listen to what Paul said. Paul said this to those who came to the real Jesus in his day, not the phony Jesus that's in the churches today. He said this about those that came to the real Jesus, Hebrews 12 and 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, not physical Mount Zion, spiritual Mount Zion. That which the letter showed in the Old Testament was a type and a shadow of what is spiritually being built in the New Testament. Ye are, notice, ye are come unto Mount Zion, notice, and unto the city of the living God. Well, now you can't say that that city over there in the Middle East is the city of the living God. They don't believe in the God of the New Testament. And most of them, the overwhelming majority, don't believe in the God of the Old Testament. So how could you call it the city of the living God? But then he tells you what city it is. The heavenly Jerusalem. Now, wait a minute. They came to the heavenly Jerusalem? Yes, they did. And they're a heavenly people because they believed in the real Jesus. They walked in his steps. They did his miracles. They believed and spoke what he said. That's not true today. That's why the church has been taken captive to Babylon, because that's not true today. And by the way, it talks about the heavenly Jerusalem among the churches, that it was coming down. When that was spoken, it was coming down. Why? Because this new Jerusalem is the bride, and it's coming down out of heaven. It's being born from above, just as the people who are the bride are being born from above. So he said, you have come to the heavenly Jerusalem. And he explains this, he says, and to innumerable hosts of angels. Wouldn't you want them on your side? Just one of them, you know, smote 185,000 of Sennacherib's army in one night. Just one. And to the, notice, and to the general assembly of the church, which is the called out ones, that's what the word ecclesia means. The called, not the ones that's not coming out, the ones that have come out. And the church of the firstborn, who is Jesus Christ, who are enrolled in heaven. Notice, this is not in heaven. He's saying these are enrolled in heaven. So here's a heavenly Jerusalem coming down to the earth, which he calls the general assembly and church, called out ones, of the firstborn, who are enrolled in heaven. And to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Oh, wow. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. So we've come to Jesus, and the real Jesus, the Bible Jesus. You know, people need to quit going to church and start reading their Bible and just ask God for truth and believe everything they read. This will save their lives. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better than that of Abel. Okay, so that's the heavenly Jerusalem. Not that city over there that's in total apostasy. So, continuing our original text in Isaiah about Cyrus, Isaiah 45 and 1, the next verse, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. Anointed kings were anointed, you know. Our Cyrus, which has been revealed very well through much prophecy, dreams, visions, so on and so forth, to be Donald Trump. And we've already talked about that, so I'm not going to regress, but I want to go on. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him. So he's not through. Things are going to change. And I will loose the loins of kings. That's happening. To open the doors before him. I mean, the doors that God was opening before him was so that he could march right into Babylon and take over. And Babylon is the United States. And the gates shall not be shut, and they weren't. I will go before thee and make the rough places smooth. He has done that. I will break in pieces the doors of brass. This is the gates that are not shut. The doors of brass were unlocked when he came down the Euphrates River after draining the riverbed because he rerouted the Euphrates River. Their army marched right underneath the bars that went across the river and underwater so that no army could really invade. And then on either bank they had these other bars that were unlocked, gates that were unlocked. And God said, all this he's done to enable Cyrus to come right on into the city. I will break in pieces the doors of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness. Now, I'm telling you, this administration has a lot of treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. What do you think they're bribing everybody with? You know? How do you think they can pay their troops out there? That thou mayest know that it is I, the Lord, who calleth thee by thy name. And Cyrus was, of course, shocked when the high priest brought out the book of the word and showed it to Cyrus, his name being in there, so many, many years before he was ever even born, and what he would do. He was so impressed, he did it. Even the God of Israel, for Jacob my servant's sake and Israel my chosen. I have called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. Well, that's interesting. People say, well, he's not a Christian. Well, look what God's saying. Though thou hast not known me, I am the Lord, and there is none else. Besides me, there is no God. I will gird thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west. Hey, that's us in the west, right? That there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. That includes Obama. I form the light and create the darkness. I make peace and I create evil. I am the Lord that doeth all these things. Now, he created the evil in order to bring God's people under this judgment that we're under now. And he created Cyrus when we cried out to him for mercy. And verse 13 says, I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will make straight all of his ways. Oh, that's good. And he shall build my city, and he shall let my exiles go free. Why? Because we don't belong in Babylon. Confusion. We belong in the city of God. We belong in the kingdom of God, which we destroyed because we went astray in apostasy. And he brought Babylon in there to bring about this destruction. It's invaded the church. Not for price nor reward, says the Lord of hosts. He picked a guy that was rich, didn't he? You don't need your money. Anyway, here's the decree where Cyrus let the people go and gave them all the help they needed to rebuild Jerusalem, which is the throne of the kingdom of God. Not that Jerusalem in the Middle East. No. The spiritual heavenly Jerusalem we spoke about. Ezra 1 and 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all of his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord, the God of heaven, given me. And let me tell you, America is the head of the beast empire of this earth. has given me, and he hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whosoever there is among you of all of his people, his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord. And I'm telling you, there are people prepared to do this. Reformers are on their way. They've been anointed of the Lord to do this, to bring the church back to its roots, which they turned away from and were taken captive to Babylon. Every time God's people rebelled against His word and did their own thing, God sent a beast kingdom to take them out and bring them into captivity. And this is no different. This has happened to the church. Matter of fact, the church isn't the church. They just think they're the church. The church is the one that has come out of this apostasy. That's what church means. When Jesus went out there and preached to his people, which were caught up in the denominations of Judaism, he called them out. Just like he said in John chapter 10, he went to the sheepfold, he called his sheep by name, he called them out. Those were the called out ones. They were the church, not the people that stayed in their denominational sects and divisions and strifes, which Paul called a work of the flesh. Those aren't the called out ones. The called out ones have come out, and many more are going to come out. And Cyrus is part of this plan to build the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is God. Now that's what Cyrus is saying. He is God, which is in Jerusalem. And of course, this is new, born again Jerusalem, born from above. Not the corrupt, fallen Jerusalem. Everything has to be reborn. And verse 4, and whosoever is left in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, besides the freewill offering for the house of God which is in Jerusalem. And Cyrus himself contributed greatly towards this work. Then rose up the heads of fathers' houses of Judah and Benjamin, and they have a parallel today in the church too. Judah means praise, and Judah represents the full gospel people, the spirit-filled people, because they are the people that praise the Lord. And Benjamin, the half-tribe of Benjamin, is there among them. And the priests and the Levites, even all whose spirit God has stirred to go up to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. Now, the Lord doesn't dwell in houses made with man's hands, he said. So what kind of Jerusalem and what kind of temple is he talking about? One that's not made with man's hands. It's not physical. They can build them a temple over there in the Middle East if they want, but God's not going to dwell there, for goodness sake. It's all letter. It's all passed away. This is what God's going to dwell in. And all they that were round about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts and with precious things, besides all that was willingly offered. Also Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which is a type of the people of God who went into captivity under Nebuchadnezzar, but he was now freeing. Because he goes on to say, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem and put in the house of his gods. Men, even those did Cyrus, king of Persia, bring forth by the hand of Mithradath, the treasurer, and numbered them unto Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. And this is the number of them, 30 platters of gold, 1,000 platters of silver, 29 knives, 30 bowls of gold, silver bowls of a second sort, 410, and other vessels, 1,000. All the vessels of gold and of silver were 5,400. All these did Sheshbazzar bring up when they of the captivity were brought up from Babylon to Jerusalem. Oh, hallelujah! Do you remember the revelation I shared with you recently about the choice that we had to make? One of them had to do with Hillary being president, and the other one had to do with Donald Trump being president. And the Donald Trump part was this. Donald Trump was in the White House as he walked through the halls. Wheat fields sprang up all around the U.S. What is this? What does he liken wheat to? His people. All around the U.S. People were in those fields, and quite a few children. Yeah, because this is a parallel revelation here, right? The children were holding hands and singing. It's a revival. That's this wheat springing up, bearing fruit. Revival. There was a feeling of well-being and happiness. That's better than what we had. We had the other part of this vision was all about under Hillary, and she was guilty of the blood of the saints. Now, here's the surprising part. A nuclear bomb or some other kind of bombs still hit us, still because it was going to hit in both cases, which is because the Scripture says that this war is coming, saints. Okay? As the bomb hit the United States, the wheat fields absorbed them. The wheat fields represent these people that are bearing fruit. The revival. Making them harmless. Do you think a people that have power with God could do such a thing? I say absolutely. The more we got hit, the more the children sang. Donald Trump turned to me at a podium, pointed to the sky, and said, "They're still coming, but now we're ready." You see, a people has to be ready when tribulation and trouble comes, or it can devastate. You know, the nuclear war will come as the second red horse rider that takes peace from the earth in Revelation 6 and 3, but it will be survived now. He chuckled like a dad would and smiled at me. He turned towards the people with great affection and fatherly kindness. He really cared for them, like they were his own. Donald Trump was then trying to drag a cross onto the top of the White House. He's trying to submit the government to God. The Bible codes say, "He came to me," concerning Trump. He came to me. You say he's not a Christian? Well, I can tell you one thing. He's on his way. And of course, I don't think he could be a radical Christian or the country wouldn't vote for him at all. But God kind of snuck him in there. He was encountering some opposition, and I don't know if he made it to the top or not. In other words, he didn't know if he was completely succeeding to submit the government to God or not, right? But he was trying very hard. He was sweating on his brow. That's pretty interesting. And of course, we know there's a condition to all this. Jeremiah 18 and 7. "At what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to break down and to destroy it, which God has." I just shared that with you earlier, how God promised to do that because of the apostasy. "If that nation concerning which I have spoken turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil which I thought to do unto them. And at what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if they do that which is evil in my sight, that they obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them." So there is the condition. Jeremiah 18, 7 through 10. Well, Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We don't consider that we are capable of doing this, but we do consider that the blood of the Lamb was shed for us, and by His grace, we will succeed. We know, Lord, that you grant repentance, and we believe, Lord, that you have granted repentance and faith to your bride to intercede for the body of Christ. And we believe, Lord, that because of this intercession, much of the body of Christ will come into the kingdom that they didn't ever know about. And their understanding of the kingdom is so childish that they are missing it. And so, Lord, we ask you, Lord, we know you said you're going to send these awesome reformers, which are just in your image, inhabited by your word and by the anointing of your spirit. They will do signs and wonders and miracles to get the people's attention, just like Jesus did, because history always repeats. And after getting this attention, they will teach the people and they will listen. Those that are the elect will listen. Father, we thank you for this mercy that you're showing. We thank you for anointing our Cyrus, Donald Trump, to go into office. We fully suspect that in the next couple of months there will be hindrance, but we fully expect, Lord, that you will overcome all of these things. And in so doing, bring your people through a John the Baptist-type repentance foundation for the coming of the man-child, just as it was in Jesus' day. A John the Baptist repentance revival. Like the people cried out when they heard Haman's edict to destroy them. Father, we thank you that they will try, but they will lose. God's people will be victorious because of your grace and because your plan is already written in the Bible. Oh, praise be to God. Lord, we praise you. We thank you. We ask you to draw us, gift us, empower us, cause us to be well-pleasing unto you at this time. Lord, we're coming out of such apostasy and such degradation as far as what the original church looked like. It's just like the people coming out of Babylon. They have forgotten what their kingdom even looked like. So, you're sending reformers to show them what the kingdom looks like. We've gone through dark ages, and many falsely considered that that was all passed away, those dark ages. No, we're still coming out of the dark ages. Such foolishness and apostasy from the original pattern laid down in scriptures and the original ministry that Jesus ordained of apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists who stuck with the original Word of God and the original Jesus, not another Jesus and another gospel, which we have fallen away from. And Lord, this doesn't save. And that's why, of course, we have to come out of Babylon, just as they had to come out of Egypt in order to sacrifice to the true God in the wilderness. Lord God, we know we're headed towards the Red Sea, thank God. And we're headed towards the wilderness right after that, thank God. And Lord, we just praise you for all things that you're doing for your people, all the foundation that you're laying today through these things. And the whole world's going to sit up and take notice, Lord, when you save your people out of Babylon. They're going to take notice, just like it was when you saved your people out of bondage in Egypt. The whole world noticed and were awed at the God of your people. Oh, praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Thank you for this awesome, awesome miracle and resurrection life for your people, resurrection life for your man child, and so on. Thank you, Father. Amen.